Hey, deep divers. It's wild how certain topics just keep popping up. And today we're diving into one that's sadly way more common than people realize. Narcissistic abuse.
Yeah, it's heavy stuff.
And you know what? You came to us with this Dutch article. It's called Narcissistic Abuse. What is it? Recovering from Narcissistic Abuse from the HeartSense website.
Right.
Because you're ready to go deeper than just surface level, really understand what makes this type of abuse so insidious.
Absolutely.
So let's unpack this together. What do you say?
Let's do it. And I think it's important to remember that even though we're looking at a Dutch article, these insights, they're everywhere. Narcissistic abuse is not bound by borders or cultures, unfortunately.
It really isn't. And, you know, it's striking how direct this article is right off the bat. It doesn't mess around. It jumps right into the deep end, defining narcissistic abuse as this sustained, systematic attack on a person's emotional and psychological well-being. And that really struck me because it's not just, you know, a single fight or a bad day. We're talking about a calculated pattern of behavior designed to break someone down.
And that's exactly why it is so dangerous. I mean, unlike physical abuse, where the evidence, as awful as it is to say, can be more visible, this kind of abuse leaves scars you can't see.
Right.
It's hidden, insidious. Mm-hmm. It makes it really tough to spot from the outside. It's harder to prove, and even more tragically, harder for the person going through it to even recognize.
Oh, absolutely. It's like, how do you even begin to explain that to someone who hasn't experienced it? And you know what really sent chills down my spine? When the article compared narcissistic abuse to basically being brainwashed.
Right.
And I know that might sound extreme at first, but the more I think about it.
No, I think you're onto something.
The more I see the parallels.
Right. I mean, think about it. Think about the techniques used in like actual brainwashing. You're isolating the person, controlling all the info they get, using this messed up combo of rewards and punishments to like rewire their behavior. Those are classic narcissistic abuse tactics.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
Wow. When you lay it out like that, it really does click. It's like this slow, subtle process that just kind of creeps in. And the scary part is it often starts disguised as this overwhelming, almost suffocating love.
Oh, yeah. The article talks about this phase called love bombing, where the abuser basically drowns the victim in affection, makes them feel like they're, you know, the center of the universe.
Right.
And that intensity, it's intoxicating, but it's also incredibly disorienting.
Right.
Especially because that affection, it inevitably flips to cruelty. And the victim's left reeling, you know, struggling to understand what just happened, what changed so drastically.
Mm.
And it creates this addictive cycle, this need to get back to that initial high.
Oh, it's going to be like an emotional roller coaster you can't get off, never knowing which direction it's going to go next. Exactly.
I can only imagine how much harder that makes it to even recognize what's going on.
It does. It does. And, you know, it's important to be clear. We're talking about narcissistic abuse here. But the article makes a point of saying there's a difference between having like some narcissistic traits, which let's face it, we all do to some extent.
Right.
And then having full-blown narcissistic personality disorder, which is a clinical diagnosis.
Right, right, right. Like not everyone who's a little self-absorbed is automatically a narcissist.
Exactly.
But here's the mind-blowing part. The article says that even without that formal diagnosis, someone can still inflict this kind of abuse.
100%.
That's wild.
That's the crucial thing. The label itself isn't what matters. It's recognizing the pattern of behavior, that dynamic of power and control that's at the heart of this kind of abuse.
It's like we're not trying to diagnose someone from afar, but we are trying to understand the very real damage that these behaviors, you know, inflict. And it really sounds like this can happen to anyone. The article was very clear. Narcissistic abuse doesn't discriminate. It really doesn't. Strong or not, rich or poor, outgoing, introverted, none of that matters. It's about power and control, not the qualities of the person being targeted. The abuser needs a target, someone they can manipulate, someone they can isolate from their support system, someone they can slowly but surely diminish.
And often, as the article pointed out, that target is someone who loves and trusts the abuser deeply, which makes it all the more heartbreaking. And it's like, that begs the question everyone's thinking, why don't they just leave?
Right.
You know, if it's so clearly harmful, why stay? And I gotta say, I was really impressed with how directly the article tackled this.
Yeah.
Because from the outside looking in, it's easy to wonder.
It's so hard to understand. If something's so painful, why not just walk away, you know?
Exactly.
But it goes so much deeper than that. The article digs into the complexity of it all with this idea of a trauma bond. Have you heard of that?
I have, but I'll be honest. It always seemed like one of those terms therapists throw around, you know?
Right.
But the way the article explained it, it just clicked for me.
Yeah. It's powerful stuff. Picture this. You're stuck in this back and forth of intense affection, and then bam, brutal cruelty.
Oof.
Your brain is getting flooded with hormones, so you're riding this addictive high when the love and validation are flowing.
Mm.
But then the abuse comes inevitable, right? And it's like withdrawal. You just crave that next hit of affection, that good feeling, so badly.
So you're almost addicted to the relationship, even though it's clearly toxic.
Exactly.
And, you know, thinking about it, this whole intermittent reinforcement thing, the reward and punishment.
Oh, yeah.
That's not just in romantic relationships, is it?
Absolutely not. You see it everywhere. Workplaces, families, even the way we use technology. That's why recognizing the pattern is so important, no matter the context.
That's so true.
But going back to leaving, imagine trying to put those feelings into words, this tangled web of emotions, to someone who's never experienced it. It's so hard to articulate, even to yourself,
mm-hmm.
because that abuser often takes your sense of self-worth and just crushes it. You doubt what you're even seeing.
It's like gaslighting, but on an emotional level, constantly questioning your own reality.
Absolutely.
And as if that wasn't hard enough, the article talks about this huge societal blind spot when it comes to narcissistic abuse.
Yeah.
People just don't get it.
And that might be the most disheartening part, isn't it?
It really is.
That even if someone finds the immense courage to speak out, they're met with disbelief or skepticism or even straight up blame.
Oh, it's the classic, but they seem so nice.
Every time.
And, you know, anyone who's ever dealt with this, I can see how that would make you hesitate to open up.
Yeah.
Especially when you already feel so isolated, unsure of yourself.
Exactly. Because here's the thing. That dismissal, it often comes from a good place. People just genuinely don't understand this kind of abuse, how subtle it is, how it hides in plain sight behind charm and charisma.
Right. They're so good at that.
Exactly.
And let's not forget, the abuser is often very good at keeping up appearances, right? Putting on that charming face for everyone else.
Oh, they know how to work the system. They present well, deflect any suspicion.
Pastor manipulators.
Exactly. Yeah. So even when someone does speak up, it's so easy to dismiss them, right. Say they're exaggerating or misunderstanding.
Which just makes the victim even more vulnerable.
Absolutely. Yeah. Their reality is constantly being undermined.
Constantly.
And that's why awareness is so crucial. The more we get it, the tactics, the impact, the blind spots, the better we are as a society at supporting those who are trapped.
You know, it really is true what they say. Knowledge is power. And in this case, it's empowering for everyone, not just, you know, someone who might be a victim, but the people around them too. And speaking of which, I was really surprised by how the article went beyond just the emotional and psychological damage.
Yeah.
There was this whole list of like physical and mental symptoms that I hadn't really connected before.
Oh, for sure. It's easy to fixate on just the emotional side, but this abuse, it hits your whole being. It's like your body's stuck in fight or flight mode, on overdrive, stress hormones all the time, never knowing when the next attack is coming. That takes its toll over time, for sure.
Totally. And like, they listed things like chronic fatigue, insomnia, anxiety way up, not things you'd automatically think of.
No, but it makes sense, right?
It totally does.
We're not just talking, oh, I'm a bit tired.
Yeah.
This article goes there. Higher risk of PTSD, chronic depression, even suicidal thoughts from this kind of prolonged exposure.
Wow. That's heavy stuff. But again, shows how serious it is, you know? And one thing I really appreciated, though, was it didn't just dump all that on us and then peace out. There's some practical stuff in here, too. Like, they listed red flags to watch out for.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Like a little toolkit for recognizing the signs, even if the person, maybe they haven't actually said anything.
Exactly. And that is key because, as we've been saying, often the victim either struggles to put it into words or they're blaming themselves even. Yeah. So having these red flags, like sudden changes in how they act, pulling away from loved ones, always making excuses for the partner's bad behavior, that's huge for people on the outside to realize something's off.
Absolutely. It's like connecting the dots. You notice these little shifts, how they carry themselves, their energy. It's like a warning sign that something's wrong underneath.
And the empowering thing about knowing that, it gives us the ability as friends, family, whoever, to offer support, even if it's just listening, you know, or being that safe space where they can talk without judgment.
It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
We forget how powerful it is to just believe someone, validate their experience, say, you're not alone. That can make all the difference.
So true. This whole deep dive has been really eye-opening. I'm not going to lie. We've gone deep on narcissistic abuse, how tricky it is to even see it, and the damage, the real lasting damage it can do.
And I think the biggest takeaway, at least for me, is that knowledge really is power here. Because the more we understand, the more we can protect ourselves and those around us.
100%. And, you know, if I had to leave our listeners with just one final thought, it'd be this. The article focused on romantic stuff, but this dynamic, it pops up everywhere. Families, at work, even just the way society's set up sometimes. So keep your eyes open, trust your gut, and never, ever underestimate how powerful it is to listen with compassion. You never know who might need it.
Beautifully said.
Thanks to all you deep divers for bringing us this article. It was important. Until next time, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.